So students, now we are going to chapter 3, which is Objectives and Theory of Form. This is a very, very theoretical chapter, and it basically revolves around the objectives and theory of firms. Okay. So when we talk about business firm, we all know that the managerial economics is revolving around the theory of firms. In this chapter, we are giving you a theoretical idea about what are the theory behind the study of business firm, and what are the various objectives that firms may have. So let's have a look. First, we start with what a business firm is. In economics, we say that firm is an individual proprietorship, a partnership, or a corporation. It is purely owned, controlled by the investor, the entrepreneur, who has the pure intention of earning certain goals and meeting certain objectives. It represents a firm where the entire control is in the hands of the investor, the karta, the investor, the proprietor, the entrepreneur, who becomes the decision maker with respect to output and price. Various objectives that business firms have. Out of that, the first and foremost objective, which most of us all agree, is the profit maximization. The moment we ask you what are business firms here for, I get an answer in the class for profit. Well, of course, profit can never be ignored. But today there are many other objectives which are simultaneously fulfilled or attained by the firms along with profit as their prime goal, such as value maximization, sales maximization, size maximization, long run survival, and management utility maximization. We are going to understand here one by one each of these objectives, and what if these objectives are fulfilled, how would it enhance the performance of the organization or a business unit. Let's go ahead. Here we start with the very first and the most important objective, profit maximization. Before you learn about profit, you have to first categorize profit into two, accounting and economic. Usually when we read in the newspapers, companies like Infosys had made a profit of 11% in quarter two, or they have made a profit of 6,100 crores. If you hear about companies like Apple, which is making a profit and a turnover of 7,000 crores and so on, what are these figures reflecting? The accounting profit. We rarely ever discuss about economic profit in practical terms. But here, when you study the theory of firms and objectives of firm, economics wants to throw light on the economic angle of profit. But before we look at the formula of accounting profit. Accounting profit is purely the total revenue minus, TR is the total revenue, minus wages, interest, rent, and some material cost. So this is a formula which you have to keep in mind. Total revenue minus total expenses. All the expenses incurred in the production process. So when you minus the expenses from the revenue, you get a surplus amount which is classified as accounting profit. But the another concept of profit from economics point of view is the economic or pure profit. Now economic profit is a little wider concept, though the answer of economic profit will always be less than accounting. We say from the total revenue, when we just not minus the explicit but something called implicit cost. Now what are explicit and what are implicit cost? Explicit cost are the costs which are incurred in the production process. They are all those costs which are recorded in the books of account. So material cost, labor expenses, payment made to outsiders, commissions, interest, salaries, etc. But implicit cost. Implicit cost are those costs which are actually not written in the books of account. They are the self-owned resources of the entrepreneur. To make this clear, I have an example to share here. We have Praveen Merchant, who is a CA, and he is earning 6 lakhs per year. He is working for a very well-known company. Now he decides after some years of practice that why not he sets up his own company. The first thing when he sets up his own company comes the list of explicit costs. These are all explicit costs. His office rent will be around 1 lakh. If he makes an assistant salary, it will be 2 lakhs. Office equipment expenses go to 1,50,000 and other expenses are 50,000. We first tell the students, add all these expenses. They are your explicit cost. So what are you doing now? You are adding all the explicit cost. Office rent, salary, hiring office equipments, and other expenses. Add it and tell me how much it comes to. Yeah? Right. 5 lakhs. So you write separately. Explicit cost is equal to 5 lakhs. Okay? Now what would be the implicit cost? Implicit cost is what is not actually paid. Here, since we have not shown any self-owned resources, no capital of Praveen, we are only going to use the knowledge and the skill that Praveen has as a CA, and he's paid for his skill 6 lakhs. So he's paid 6 lakhs for his profession. So if he's paid 6 lakhs for his profession, what are you going to do? You are going to add this 6 lakhs to this 5 lakhs. Implicit cost. So what will you do? 6 lakhs plus 5 lakhs plus 6 lakhs. How much it comes to? 11 lakhs. Very good. Now, you have got explicit plus implicit cost equal to 11 lakhs. Now this 11 lakhs you are going to minus with total from total revenue. What is the total revenue? 15 lakhs. Ab karo. 15 lakh mein se 11 lakh minus karo. How much you come to? 4 lakhs. Now you tell me, should he continue his job or should he set up his practice? Now you may wonder what question is this. अब इसको थोड़ा सा और कनेक्ट करते हैं. अगर हमें सिर्फ अकाउंटिंग प्रॉफिट देखना है, सो इट विल बी टोटल रेवेन्यू माइनस एक्सप्लिसिट कॉस्ट. कितना एक्सप्लिसिट कॉस्ट? 5 लाख. टोटल रेवेन्यू एस्टिमेटेड, एस्टिमेटेड टोटल रेवेन्यू 15 लाख. तो 15 लाख में से व्हेन आई माइनस 5 लाख, हाउ मच आई गेट? 10 लाख. सो 10 लाख इज accounting profit. How much is the economic profit when you add implicit cost? 4 lakhs. If the economic profit is positive, if the economic profit is positive, that means even after quitting the job of 6 lakhs, still Praveen is able to earn 4 lakhs in hand. So it is a worth a decision. So economists say that if economic profit is non-zero, then the decision is worth. So this is what we try to understand from economic terms in decision making when we speak about profit as one of the objectives of the firm. It's always important for companies when they are negotiating, when they are taking orders, when they are signing tenders, they have to see what is the economic pure profit they are going to earn with that decision. Well, now we move to the next, where we understand that there are real hard difficulties in profit measurement. It's not so easy like we did here. First of all, every company is using a different concept of profit. So we have to know what are the exact concepts of profit that are used by companies for measuring their profits. Coming to implicit and explicit, as I said, how many entrepreneurs actually use implicit cost concept practically? It's again a question mark. This takes us to a model, a very famous model used by economists, profit maximization model. This model is based on only two important assumptions. They say Profit is the main goal, which we have been, it's already into our mind that yes, companies are here to make profit. But we are also interested in the rational behavior of the firm. Now, what is rational behavior? Maximization, cost minimization, profit maximization. And firm is an owner entrepreneur based. Firm is said to be an owner, it is said to be an entrepreneur. A firm is an owner, a firm is an entrepreneur. Right? So, keeping this objectives, the profit maximization model is based. Profit maximization model says that when a company wants to make profit, it has to have only two approaches, either of this. The total revenue and total cost approach, which is used by most of the companies, and the marginal revenue, marginal cost approach, which we use in economic theory. So, profit maximization model rests on the two approaches that are used for decision making by a profit maximizing firm. We will be making use of these approaches when we do markets. But the market chapter is based on what you are learning here now, the approaches of profit maximizing. So, how does each individual company decide its profit maximization price and output? How does a company decide what should be its price, what should be its output, so that its profit are maximum? The theory says that the two approaches that are labeled here can be useful in determining that. Let's understand it. Here we have the total revenue, total cost method. The total revenue, total cost method says that suppose if you take a firm which is in a perfect competition, now this approach has to be understood in context to market. Perfect competition is a market where there are many sellers and all are selling the same product in the market. So you can say that there are 100 farmers and all farmers are cultivating wheat. Or there are 1000 farmers or all cultivating rice. Then how would they decide which is their profit maximization output and price? Of course, price is not in their control. Okay, so if they start from zero, output is zero, revenue is zero. Matlab, they have to make something to sell and earn revenue. So first thing is, under the total revenue, total cost approach, the firm will be making a product in such a way that first, if you look at the total cost is a straight line. Total cost is a straight line. Now, why the total cost is a straight line? Because it indicates that if the output is zero, the total revenue is zero. So, total revenue is a straight line. And on top of that, we have the total cost. So, total revenue and total cost, when we try to link, the point where the total revenue and total cost distance is maximum, this is the point. So, the point where total revenue and total cost is maximum, this will be considered as profit maximization under TRTC approach. Now, this is just a graph to make you understand that if we are in perfect competition where the price does not change, so price revenue line is straight. The revenue line, if it is straight, it means at the revenue of the company will be selling in the same proportion, and the companies, even when their output is zero, their fixed costs are not zero. So this graph makes you understand that the point where the total cost and total revenue are equal is called break-even point. So it is B. So what is break-even point? Break-even point is the point where total cost and total revenue is equal. So this area will be called loss. This area will be called loss because here you have the cost above the revenue. So this is the revenue line, this is the cost. So whenever costs are going to be higher than revenue, it is loss. So company will have to make at least OZ products to reach the break-even. After OZ, the company will continue its production till it reaches a point of profit maximization. Now, which is the profit maximization point? It is the point where this distance, that is AP, AP is the distance which is the largest. So where the distance between A and P is the largest is called as the profit maximization level. So as per the profit maximization model, a firm who is aiming for maximum profit will get its profit maximization output as OM. So OM is called the profit maximization output using total revenue, total cost approach. Now, should they go beyond M? The answer will be no, because they have to stop at M as that is giving them the maximum profit. Later on, the profit margins reduce. Okay? The second approach is called as the marginal revenue, marginal cost approach. Now, students, remember marginal. Marginal is a very important principle that we are using in microeconomics. Marginalism means where we are talking about every additional unit. So if a company is manufacturing, let's say, cars, then every additional car that they manufacture, how much is the cost and how much is the revenue they will gain from that car? So when a company starts thinking, this happens after this. Once you reach this profit maximization output, then every additional product that the company has to make, the company will be guided by marginal cost, marginal revenue principle. Okay? And this principle is that for any output where marginal revenue is more than marginal cost, firm should increase output. For every output where marginal revenue is less, the firm should decrease output or stop because they will make loss. So, if the company wants to stop its loss, then it should always look at its marginal revenue and marginal cost for decision making. If the firm wants to increase its profit, then the firm should always look at marginal revenue and marginal cost. As long as marginal revenue is greater than marginal cost, expanding the output is profitable. The moment marginal cost overtakes the marginal revenue, the firm will start incurring loss. So it is always better to contract output. So output ko expand karna or output ko contract karna, ye decision is guided by marginal cost, marginal revenue approach. Again, to make you understand this, we have a diagram related to perfect competition market only. And in this model, we will see, as you see in this diagram, a horizontal line. This horizontal line reflects the marginal revenue. It's a straight line. So this straight line ka matlab hota hai, price is constant. This is a marginal cost graph. Now, there are so many points you can see over here, Q, Q1, M, M1, M2, and so on. How to know which would be the profit maximizing output, or you can say to avoid loss, to avoid from incurring loss. So for that, we go back and understand. As per the marginal revenue, marginal cost approach, the firm will continue till it reaches the point where marginal revenue is equal to marginal cost. So where the marginal revenue is equal to marginal cost is called equilibrium. Now look here. Here we again have the case of perfect competition, and we have these two conditions which are given. The firm has to go by these two conditions. So this is your economic theory, which says, one, look at the point where marginal revenue is equal to marginal cost, and second, the marginal cost should be intersecting the marginal, or it should cut the MR from below. Look at the diagram. If you have gone through those points very clearly, then you will find there are two points where the first condition is met. Marginal cost equal to marginal revenue, point B, and another is point E. Which point can we select? Point B or point E? Now it's a very, very, very common sense, E for equilibrium. So students very easily say E. But yes, the marginal cost intersects the marginal revenue from below. Because this area is the profit. ये MR है, MR का मतलब है रेवेन्यू प्राइस, ये कॉस्ट है. सो इफ द फर्म स्टॉप्स हियर देन इट इज स्टॉपिंग फ्रॉम अर्निंग मोर प्रॉफिट्स. सो इट विल एक्सपैंड आउटपुट फ्रॉम क्यू टिल इट रीचेस पॉइंट M. बट आफ्टर M व्हाट हैपेंस, इट एंटर्स द लॉस एरिया. Every additional product that it makes, it will give it a loss. This principle is very useful for companies like airlines who are trying to find new routes for flying their services. And it's very important that they should never take up those routes where the additional cost of landing and taking off is more than the number of travelers, because the passengers who are traveling to those routes or those destinations will be very few. So therefore, the flights will always incur a loss as their landing and flying charges will be much more than the revenue that they are going to earn because of airport duties and other expenses. So this is what we learn in the two approaches under profit maximization model, which is used for guiding the price output decisions. Now we move to the second objective. As you see here, this objective is firm's value maximization. When we talk about firm's value maximization, what does we mean by value of a firm? There's a formula given over here, students, for finding the value of a firm, and they say that the formula is P1 upon 1 plus I, P2 upon 1 plus I, and so on. So that means to understand the value of a firm, this is all addition. It's not some addition. You are just trying to find the ratio that in first time, what was the expected profit and what was the interest that the firm was paying? In second time, what was the interest that the firm is paying and what is the profit? So basically what we are interested is every time period, the cost and the profits are being compared. So we find that if initially the firm is in a loss, but at the end, the firm's overall profits are much higher, then we say that the firm's value maximization objective is attained. Okay, so here companies try to sometimes forgo short run profits for attaining long run profits. I think which really happened in case of Jio. They were not making enough profits in the short run. That is when they introduced their product in the market. But ultimately, in the long run, their profits have paid off their capital. Company borrows capital. But if it does not get profit in time period 1, time period 2, it doesn't matter, because under value maximization, the company in the long run earns such huge amount of profit that they are able to pay off their entire capital cost. The third objective is called as sales maximization objective, which is popularly called in the firm's theory as a dynamic model. Contribution goes to W.J. Baumol, and being a management consultant, he had visited many business firms. He had come to a conclusion that today the companies have tried to work hard on sales maximization rather than just keeping profit maximization as the ultimate goal. The model is more focusing on the efforts that companies are making towards advertising. Today, advertisement plays a very strong role in fetching the customers for the company's product. The way the company advertises would totally affect the company's sales and, of course, the revenue of the company. And therefore, you will see, students, the amount of advertisement war that is going on in the consumer market for products has ultimately made us believe the dynamic model of the theory of firms. There are various assumptions when you study the dynamic model. The assumptions are going by establishing a correlation between sales and advertisement. So you can try to get data of any company and see how much advertisement expenditure and sales are correlated. There's one drawback that this model assumes the market price to remain constant, whereas it's not so. Okay, we are assuming that the demand and cost that we have studied in theory remains the same. Okay, and only advertisement is given a very important role, but there is no mention of how advertisement is going to affect the cost of the company. The next objective is size maximization. The propounder is here Edith Penrose. And Edith Penrose have given more weightage to the role that managers have today. Today we have companies like Apple and Airtel, which are already going for 5G network, and they are definitely going for value maximization. Okay, they are also looking for, as we have recently studied in this dynamic model of improving their sales, but also size maximization. When it comes to size maximization, we are talking about the total strength of the company, the people who are responsible for the company. So the company needs to have a sizable amount of manpower or workforce who would be handling the various departments of the company, so that the company is not only growing. When we say growth in size, we are talking about the turnover, the expansion, and the overall team of managers who are working for the successful growth of the company. You will have to look for newspapers, cases, and examples of companies who are hiring CEOs, one of the most highly paid CEOs. This will help you to understand size maximization, because today, when you talk about companies like Jio, you talk about companies like Apple, Infosys, I'm sure the companies are looking for highly ambitious, talented CEOs. Okay, Google. How can you look at the CEO of Google and look at the ambition and ability and how he has taken the company to a very large growth level? So, Edith have definitely given a lot of importance to the role that the CEO plays in the growth and expansion of the company. So, here I want the students to pick up articles, pick up examples of companies where the day when the CEO joined the company, what was the company's position, and over a tenure of time, how much the CEO has taken the company to a higher growth and higher maximization objective. We come to the next basic objective that the firms may have, as given by K.W. Rothschild. It is called long-run survival. Long-run survival. Now, when we talk about this objective, this objective is purely based on the shareholders' interest. Okay? Every business having a long-run survival is not just looking at the present generation, but in the next few generations. So long-run survival is very difficult in practice, but yes, companies are doing that. Tata's have done that. Okay? Reliance Group of Industries have done that. They are the companies who are already looking for business growth for the next to next generation. How they are building their empires and how they are proceeding further is an example of long-run survival. We need to understand what are the strategies. Reliance Group of Industries is going for business expansion. Samsung is also looking for diversified product lines and looking for long-run survival. So purely take a look at the companies which are in the top list of the BSE and NSE, National Stock Exchange and Bombay Stock Exchange. Look at the companies and look at their shareholder strength. Very good example to understand long-run survival. Coming to management utility maximization as the next objective given by Jay Inarnakian. Inarnakian is one of the pioneer thinkers of management utility maximization objective. And he believes that most of the business firms have some set of ordered preference and goals which they try to achieve, and they try to divide these goals among their employees, their CEOs, their managers, and they try to see that these goals are met. But they believe in one thing, that to get these goals, they need to give the best utility to their management, okay? And therefore, they have to balance between leisure and work. They have to balance between profitability and liquidity, so that they are able to avoid any type of bottlenecks or any type of difficulties they may face. So most of the companies are giving weekday off. The companies are giving weekday off. They are keeping some non-working days so that they can balance the work and leisure of their employees and get more productivity of their employees. Okay. Working capital, how much is the working capital and the fixed assets? So always having these balance sheets made. Well, so after understanding these various objectives of the firm, we have picked up one behavioral theory of the firm, which is very, very popular, and it is the Simon Satisfying Behavior Model. This theory has won a Nobel Prize in 1956, and the main goal of this theory was that it's very important to understand the satisfactory behavior that a manager will aim for. Every manager aims for a satisfactory level of profit maximization, and they always aim for cost. They always aim for a satisfactory cost. Managers don't prefer to go for cost minimization, but they say satisfactory cost and satisfactory profit, and that is what they try to balance as per this model. The management tries to determine, they are saying that this is a satisfactory aspiration level. So every company looks at its past experience. On the basis of its past experience, they are making the present decisions. According to them, they are always looking for what is the next best solution that they can attain in the present given situation. So satisfying behavior basically does not believe in profit maximization or cost cutting or cost minimization, but basically satisfactory level of profit and satisfactory level of cost balancing according to this model. This model is very well related to the real world situation. Okay, it says that to keep the companies continuously motivated, they have to have the satisfaction return coming from the market in order to survive and in order to expand in the market. No manager will be motivated to work for the company if their salaries are not linked to the company's growth and profit. And therefore, it's very important that when a company is making the profit, so does is the manager and the CEO also growing with the company, which becomes a very strong motivating factor. But there are various criticisms of this theory. First of all, they say that this model lacks very complete information. Now, when we talk of satisfying behavior, what is giving satisfaction to the management? Is it just the cost and profit balancing, or are there any other objectives? Not clear. The model does not differentiate between what type of conditions. It says given condition based on past, the present decisions have to be taken. But what type of conditions, what type of external factors are not very clear. Okay. And when you talk about satisfactory level, it's a very, very subjective concept. Every company's satisfactory level may differ. So the theory is subject to certain criticism. But still the theory is accepted because it is trying to give weightage to the role of management, which is working day and night for the company's growth, and how the company's growth is linked to their satisfactory level of growth is what the theory is trying to highlight. So with that, students, we have successfully completed a very theoretical topic, a very basic and a simple topic about objectives of the firm and the models that are revolving around the theory of firm. As you know that this chapter is managerial economics and it is revolving around the theory of firm. So chapter 1, 2 and 3 were purely revolving around understanding what economics is, how is it becoming managerial economics, various concepts and principles that you learn in economics, which you can find in business. And finally, the very base of this subject is the theory and objectives of the firm. Go through these topics, keep reading the newspapers, keep taking up newspaper articles to link with the theory to get maximum benefit of what you are learning. So with that, take care. Thank you.